But with 2020 ahead of us, a year that exudes vision or sight and brings to mind thoughts of concern or preparation for the future, it may be that with those dwindling opportunities in 2019 to hear the message of salvation and respond to it, that someone's mind might be better, or might their mind might be ready to better consider the words of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 44, Jesus said, "For this reason also you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." The Lord's return is definite. The Lord's return in time is yet unknown. We will not know the time of his coming until he does return. But with that in mind, I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? Are you ready then to preach the gospel? Paul had a desire to visit Rome and to preach the gospel there. In fact, he wrote a letter to the Christians living there, and he said to them in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, "So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul was eager to preach. He was willing and ready to proclaim the good news to those who believed or was the beloved of God, also called as saints, who were living there in Rome, as he began Romans chapter 1. He then stated that he was not ashamed of the gospel, the message to which he would preach to them, meaning that he had complete confidence in the gospel. The gospel is that good news concerning the now present means of representing Jesus' divine dominion and the way of salvation by his death and resurrection. When sharing the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth, he lived his life here and was put to death by the hands of wicked men, buried by some who believed in him, and was resurrected by his Father, it provided us with many witnesses and many proofs to share with people about the coming judgment. The Bible takes the student from the beginning of time, creation, through many promises made by God to his people, and even the fulfillment of many of those promises, proving the trustworthiness of God, proving his mercy towards people, towards mankind, and proving his justice toward evildoers. That message contains the good, the bad, and even the ugly of those who did follow God. It tells of the devastation of peoples who rejected God and the mistakes of some of those who tried to follow God. And it even tells about the blessings enjoyed by people who surrender their lives completely to his guidance and direction. The message reveals the only hope sinful man has for receiving forgiveness, and the promises that remain is Jesus Christ. He's our only hope. However, as God had demonstrated his power in creating all things, and furthermore in furnishing proofs of himself in all that creation and in the word which he inspired, he also revealed how mankind left God. Mankind, of his own free will and choice, chose to reject God. And so God had to send his Son. He had to send his Son to rescue man, but it wasn't an afterthought on God's part, as it might be on man's part. Man, seeing his need for a Savior, would come up with a plan. God had a plan from the very beginning, even before the creation, before the foundations of the world. You see, God knew that with man's free will, is freedom to choose Him or to reject Him, that man would ultimately reject God. Not only would man reject God, man would reject God's Son and crucify Him. Thus, the power of God was made evident yet again when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, how His death, His burial, and His resurrection brought salvation to light and an entrance into the kingdom of God for those who believe. As Paul said, the gospel, the account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, is the power of God for salvation. The power is not in the presenter of the message. The power is not in the receiver of the message. The power is in God. The message reveals that power, and the message revealing that power to us leads us then to hear of salvation and to move towards receiving that salvation. God chose the preaching of His message to be the means through which He would save man. His message tells of His love, His mercy, and His kindness in dealing with man's rejection of Him and His Son. And so when God's message is preached, when God's message is proclaimed, when God's message is taught, people can hear it. Those who believe will come to salvation, deliverance from the power and effects of sin, by repenting of their sins, confessing belief in Jesus Christ, and being baptized into Christ, washing away their sins. Receiving deliverance from the power of sin, then, is a message which must be preached. For this reason, you also must be ready. Are you ready to preach the gospel? Are you ready to obey the gospel if you have not yet obeyed it? Are you ready to work for the Lord? Paul instructed Titus to remind the brethren, to remind Christians of the proper attitude which Christians ought to have in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He said that Christians are to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Christians are to be fully prepared for every good work or good deed in the work of the Lord. Believers are to be ready to do any good deed, any good thing needed for the benefit of others. For this reason, you also must be ready. Are you ready to do any good deed for others in working for the Lord? Are you ready to answer questions? Rather than be worried or be afraid, Christians are urged by the Apostle Peter to have reverence for Christ and honor Him as Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 reads, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Can you explain the hope you have? Can you give arguments for hope that is found only in Christ? Believers are to acknowledge Christ as holy, to worship Him and honor Him as the only God. They are also to be ready to make a defense for the Christian faith, then by extension for future salvation. For this reason, you also must be ready. Are you ready to answer questions from those who ask you for an explanation of the hope that is shared by those who believe? Are you ready to be judged? Notice the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will say or declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Not everyone who claims Jesus as Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. Saying Jesus is Lord of one's life is not sufficient for salvation. Consistently talking about the Lord will not allow one to enter the rule and reign of God. Furthermore, the frequent use of the Lord's name or titles for him will not gain entrance either. But on the other hand, many will do very specific things, acting or speaking on behalf of Jesus, like prophesying or speaking God's message, removing evil spirits, or performing works of power. But Jesus says, "Of them I will pass judgment on all people, including those who talk a good talk about him and those who also give him the credit for their actions." What did he say? He said, "I will say to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The people failed to live according to the will of God. Some talked a good talk, some walked a good walk, yet both failed to live according to the law of God. If you look at Matthew's gospel, the failure to show love for one's neighbor is the fulfillment of God's law. To those whom Jesus will say, "I never knew you," they never did what God required. And because they never did what God required by the means which God required it, they will be left in outer darkness. For this reason, you must be ready. Are you ready to be judged? Paul told Timothy, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, Timothy. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all or great patience and instruction." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Christ, who came as Savior, will come again as Judge. When he comes as Judge, his purpose and intent will be to determine the innocence or guilt of each person and assign reward or punishment. Those to be judged are said to be the living and the dead, regardless of one's state when Christ comes again. Christ will judge, and when he comes to judge and to rule and reign supreme, each person, whether living or dead at the time, will stand before him, having nothing more than their deeds with them. Paul called upon God and Christ in this case to witness him charging Timothy to fulfill some 9 imperatives in the text that follows. 5 related to Timothy's preaching and ministry, teaching ministry, are found in verse 3. The other 4 are related to his course of action, when in the course of preaching that message, the message would be rejected and Timothy himself would be persecuted. Verse 5 gives his course of action. Timothy, though, was to stand, stand by, to be on hand, to be ready, be persistent in proclaiming the message, no matter come what may, because he too would be judged as one who proclaims the gospel. I will be judged. As you who hear the message, you too will be judged. For this reason, Jesus said, you also must be ready. Are you ready to be judged for how you have lived? Are you ready to be judged for your fulfillment of the ministry he's given to you? Are you ready to think? Upon the reading of it, one might miss this thought. But join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The reading will begin in verse 16 and we'll go through verse 21. As you're turning there, I want to give you some background information. Paul was organizing a collection to help some poor Christians in Jerusalem. The Christians in Corinth needed to give, and they needed to be ready to give now if they were going to help out. The Macedonians had already given, and because they had already given, they had laid a great example before the Corinthians in first giving themselves to God, then in giving what help they could to their brothers and sisters. Paul commends then Titus and an unnamed brother who were returning to Corinth in order to finalize the arrangements of this collection in Corinth. They would finalize this arrangement before Paul would come to them with some brethren from Macedonia in order to take the collection and to deliver it in Jerusalem. Paul in this text stressed that everything was to be done openly and honestly, as many eyes were watching, not only from the brethren in the church, but all the world as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. But thanks be to God who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you of his own accord. We have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself, and to show our readiness, taking precautions so that no one will discredit us in our administration of the generous gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Notice the word as translated by the New American Standard in verse 19. Readiness. Readiness. It means forwardness of mind, a readiness of mind, a ready and willing mind. The brethren were helping fellow believers, and Paul was the one organizing the collection and the delivery of it. And in making these plans, he not only had to think ahead, but plan ahead. He was taking every precaution to be himself above reproach and then provide for those other men who were joining him to be the same, to be above reproach, to avoid any hint of misconduct by anyone involved in taking this collection and delivering it to those in need. Do you have the ability to think of people's needs ahead of them? A willingness of mind to organize the means by which their needs can be met? For this reason, you also must be ready. You are to be ready in thinking, organizing, and carrying out the hope or the help needed by those in need. Do you have the readiness of mind to serve God and to protect the church? Are you ready to give? Concerning this collection, Paul mentioned that the Corinthians had already pledged to make a very generous gift. So he said to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 5, I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. The brethren should not be motivated to give solely to avoid shame. They were to give as a testament of one's love, a testament of one's willingness to help, a testament of one's partnership or relationship with other believers. Giving should come from a glad heart, voluntarily. For this reason, you also must be ready. Are you ready to give? Are you ready to live? To live is Christ, and to die is gain, was Paul's words in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 21. What does it mean to you to continue living? What does it mean to you to die? Paul answered that concerning himself, that living was wrapped up in Christ Jesus. That Christ was the purpose of Paul's life. Therefore, his death meant gain. Gain for him personally to go and be with the Lord. Gain for the progress of the gospel, as attention would be brought to the gospel in his death. Therefore, his death meant gain. Gain for himself, but gain for many others as well, because of the life he had lived. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 explain that the grace of God has appeared, and it's brought salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, to live sensibly and righteously and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. For this reason, you also must be ready. Are you ready to live? Are you ready to die? It may be a little more difficult for some. Maybe because of recent events which they've had to face. But it's a question nonetheless that we must ask ourselves when considering the idea of being ready for the second coming of the Lord. Are you ready to die? The Apostle Paul's statement found there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, shows an older man who had used his life investing in a younger man, and the time had come for the older man to pass on. He would no longer be with the younger man to help him in his endeavors, no longer with the younger man to guide him in thought and deed. And as Paul wrote these words, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, he said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul was ready to die. He was ready to die because he was already being poured out as a complete sacrifice to God. He had assurance that his work was done. He had fought the good fight. He had finished the course. He had kept the faith to the very end. And each one of those, the fight, the course, and the faith, was Paul's. He personally owned. He took ownership in it, and he had lived his life so that now, when it came time for him to die, he could say he had kept the faith to the end. His judgment and reward, which awaited him, would come from the Lord whom he loved, whom he served, and whom he longed to see. Do you love the Lord? Do you serve him? Do you long to see him? For this reason, you also must be ready. Are you ready to die? Are you ready? Matthew 24, verse 44 says, "For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will come." Like the start of that childhood game, hide and seek, someday the expression, "Ready or not, here I come," will find some ready and some who are not. Sadly for some, they will think they are ready, but on that day, will find themselves unprepared. For this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour which we do not know. Are you ready? If you're not ready, God has given you an opportunity to make things right with him, so you can be ready. And just as the time is passing so swiftly, and 2019 is drawing to a close, your time and opportunity to respond is running out. We do not know when you will breathe your last. But all the more impressing on the mind is that the Lord's return is sure, and we know not when the Lord will return. But we know this: some will be alive, some will have passed, all will be judged. If you need to come to God, come to him now as we stand and as we sing.